All right, I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. It says this, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." Let's pray. God, thank you for this season. Thank you for this night. And I pray that you would do everything that you want to do in this room tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the verses I just read, Joseph has a problem. Joseph has a dilemma, a perplexing and heart-wrenching situation. It's come as this unwelcome stranger into his life to steal his joy, to rob him of peace, and to cause him to doubt God and push God away from him. Isn't that what problems tend to do? They tend to get us focused on the problem. They tend to sadden and perplex our hearts. They come to steal our joy and rob us from the peace that God intends for us to live with. And they make us doubt God. They tempt us to doubt God and to push God away. This particular problem that has come into Joseph's life has come into his life at probably the best time of his life. He's betrothed to the love of his life, Mary. He's engaged. Let's think of it that way. Everything was exciting for Joseph. Everything was good. Things were looking up. He had a future planned for himself. His future was set as far as he knew. And then one day, in an instant, all of his plans were ruined. This would be no Merry Christmas for Joseph, because he has just found out that the woman he's engaged to is pregnant. His heart's broken. His dreams are crushed. His plans are ruined. He doesn't see any way out. He doesn't know what to do. He knows, as far as he can figure out, there's only two options. One is that he and Mary have sinned against God by being immoral before marriage. But he knows that's not true. He's faced with the crushing reality that Mary's maybe not the woman that he thought she was, and has broken faith with him and God before their marriage. That's the only plausible option. It's the only thoughtful option, and it breaks his heart. And he knows exactly the situation. He knows if he goes on and continues in his engagement and marries her, then everyone around will think that as well. And he will live in that society with the shame and the guilt and the pain for the rest of his life. Maybe Christmas finds you in the midst of a problem, a dilemma, a heart-wrenching situation. Maybe it's not as big as Joseph's. Maybe it seems bigger. I don't know what it is. It might be financial for you. It might be relational. It might be emotional, psychological, spiritual. But maybe something is going on in the midst of your life, and it's stealing your joy. It's robbing you of peace. It's breaking your heart, and it's causing you to doubt God's love for you. Well, what's Joseph do in the midst of his trouble? He does what we all do, especially us men. He makes a plan. He thinks about it. Maybe he talks to some others. Maybe he searches the internet to figure out what do you do when faced with this kind of problem. And he makes a plan to fix the problem. Verse 19 tells us that he's a godly man. He doesn't want to put her to shame, but he needs to deal with the problem. So he makes a plan to deal with the problem. A quick divorce, which is what they would have called it, before the time that they actually got pregnant, before they got married, so that no one else would know that she's pregnant. After all, what else can he do? Nothing else makes sense. It's the only sensible thing to do. But Joseph is just about to find out something God wants to speak to you and me at Christmas time. He's about to find out this, that Jesus, the appointed king, came to earth to overcome our deepest problems. In other words, sometimes when God allows perplexing situations into our lives, and He allows them, right? Can I get an amen to that? Have you not been through perplexing problems in your life? Sometimes God allows those perplexing situations into our lives to show us more about Himself than we could ever imagine. And He uses them to show us that He can not only solve that particular problem, but He can solve the deepest and most profound problems we're faced with in life. See, God's going to reveal to Joseph, in the midst of his dilemma, three things about himself. And I pray that tonight God uses this story to reveal three things to you and I about God. The first is this: God wants to reveal to every single one of us that He's a forgiving God. He's a forgiving God. Why do I say that? Right in the midst of Joseph's plan, he's devising this plan. God intervenes, and in the next verse that we didn't read yet, it says this: "But as Joseph considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream." So here's God's intervention in Joseph's life, and says, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." That's mind-blowing intervention from God. And then the angel says, "She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." God wants to reveal to Joseph and the entire world that God is a forgiving and redeeming God. He sends Jesus into the world to save people from their sins. Now, what's interesting is that that name Jesus was not an uncommon name in Jewish society. Other Jewish parents would have named their kid Jesus, because the name Jesus simply means God saves. And so other people would have named their kids Jesus. But God was doing something specific in naming this boy Jesus. He was revealing something amazing. He's revealing His heart for mankind, that He loves the world. That means us. He loves the world so much that He's sending His very own Son into the world, not just to proclaim salvation, but to procure salvation for us through His life and His death and His resurrection. And the question this Christmas is, why would we want to stay distant from a God who sends His Son to save us from our sins? The message God wants to speak through this story is that He's a forgiving God. He's a redeeming God. He's a saving God for all who will turn to Him and trust Him. And right in the middle of Joseph's problems, God reveals that He has a bigger problem than that. And that he needs to be reconciled to God. So maybe in the midst of the struggle, the perplexing situation you're in the midst of, God wants to reveal to you that what He really wants to do is save you from your sins. He wants to forgive you of your sins and draw you into a life-changing relationship with the God of the universe. The second thing God wants to reveal through this story is that He's a God who's with us. He's a God who is with us. See, this promised King Jesus doesn't just act for us. He came to be with us. And I say that because the very next verses say this. The gospel writer Matthew says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet." That's the prophet Isaiah from Isaiah chapter 7. Hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, the prophet Isaiah said these words, and Matthew's reminding us of those words. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." And then Matthew helps us understand that by writing, which means God with us. You know what's astounding? If you read the Old Testament, whenever anyone got near to God, it was terrifying. It was terrifying because of some of the attributes of God, some of the things that are true about God. God is holy. God is righteous. God's all-powerful. God's other than us. He's glorious. He lives, according to the Bible, in unapproachable light. Let me just pause for just a moment. If you're interested in exploring your relationship with God further, at the beginning of January, we're going to be starting in on a sermon series where we take 12 weeks to look at who is God and what's He like. And we're going to study the attributes of God. And in our small groups, we're going to be talking about that as well. And we'd love to have you, if you're not normally part of this church, love to have you explore God with us together through those sermons and through those small groups. I just invite you to be a part of that. But because of who God is and because of our fallenness, it can be terrifying to be in the presence of God. But now God is saying in the coming of Jesus Christ that God took on flesh and became a baby and dwelt among us. It's an amazing reality, which means that through Jesus Christ, you don't need to be terrified of God. You can actually have a relationship with God. Christ came to be God with us. The baby that was born in a manger could be hugged and touched and kissed and held in your hands. That baby was God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. And that's what you see if you look at Jesus' life. What you see if you look at the life of Jesus is, how did He relate with His 12 disciples? He spent time with them. He didn't just teach. He walked with them. He talked with them. He sat by the fireside. They ate together. They did life together. He was God in the flesh with them. And how do you see Jesus interacting with the multitudes? He didn't stay far away in some ivory tower somewhere. He drew close. He drew near to the lepers. He touched them. He talked to them. He healed the blind. He came near to those who were hurting. He didn't stay far away. He drew near because He was God with us. It's why the disciples were troubled at the end of Jesus' life when He started to tell them that He was going to be crucified, He was going to die, and He was going to be buried. And they were terrified at this. Why? Because they'd be losing His presence. They loved being in His presence. That's why Jesus said to them, "Don't let your heart be troubled. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to ask the Father, and He's going to send another comforter. He's going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you like I've been with you." Which means that the great reality of that is for anyone who turns to Christ, any Christian has Jesus Himself through the power of the Holy Spirit living in them to be God with you in all of your trials, in all of your tribulations, in all of life's perplexing dilemmas. You have God with you. The third thing that God wants to tell Joseph through this story is, I'm a God you can trust. I'm a God you can trust. So let's go back to Joseph's particular problem for just a moment, because he's still, despite these big things that God wants to tell him about salvation and about God, he still has a problem to deal with, right? Joseph has a plan. God interrupts that plan by telling him about this baby that's going to be born. And the question is, what's Joseph going to do? Is Joseph going to accept God's answer to his dilemma? He's been instructed by the angel, don't divorce her. Take her as your wife, because this baby is someone special. He's the Son of God. But Joseph has a decision to make. He has to decide, do I respond in faith to that, or do I walk away and handle life on my own? Do I do it my own way, or do I surrender to God's way? We find in verse 24 what he did. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So Joseph, in the midst of his perplexing dilemma, he trusted God enough to make life-altering decisions based on the Word of God, based on faith. Can you imagine Joseph's life after that? I mean, it's easy to kind of read it in the Bible and then it kind of skips ahead a bunch of years. But imagine Joseph interacting with his friends. Joseph, what are you doing? You're marrying this pregnant woman? What's wrong with you? And then he begins to explain the situation. Well, let me tell you, it's kind of like this. This angel came to me and he spoke to me that the baby inside her womb is actually special. He's the Son of God. The power of the Most High overshadowed her, and therefore the baby within her is the Son of God himself. How's that going to go over? Not so well, I imagine. See, sometimes when God's at work in your life and he gives you answers to your questions and guides you in the midst of your troubles, sometimes following him is going to make you look crazy. It might make you feel crazy at times as well, I have to say. But sometimes God's direction, other people aren't going to understand. It's going to make you look like you don't know what you're doing. So year after year, Joseph raised this baby who was just a baby. And then he was a toddler. And then he was a preteen. And then he was a teenager. And I imagine he had to be wondering that whole time, is God going to be true to his promise? He promised that this baby is going to save people from their sins. He promised that this baby is going to be Emmanuel, God with us. And it wasn't until Jesus was 30 years old that he began his public ministry where people started to see, wait a minute, he lives different. We all sin, but he doesn't. He never disobeys his Father. He never turns away from his Father. Wait, he teaches like no one's ever taught before. Maybe he is the Messiah. Maybe he is the one that has come from God. He loves like only God can love. He loves people that no one else loves. And then he began to heal, and raise the dead, open blind eyes. And people began to wonder, could this be God with us? Could it be? And then he went to the cross, taking on the sins of the world on himself as he was crucified and bled. And before he died, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Could this be the fulfillment? Could this be the Son of God? And then, 3 days later, when he rose from the dead, he did what only God can do. He died and he took up life again. And Joseph could say, God is faithful to his promise. What he told me 33 years ago has come true. This baby really is the Savior of the world. This baby really is God with us. So, the question I want to leave you with is, what choices are we going to make in the midst of the troubling situations we walk through? As you face those this Christmas, or possibly in 2017, God wants to reveal himself to you as the God who forgives you from your sins. As the God who's with you. And as the God who can be trusted with every situation in your life. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for sending Jesus. Lord, we needed to be forgiven of our sins. We needed saved. We needed rescued. We needed to see God with us. And we need a God that we can trust in the midst of all of our uncertainties of life. And so, Lord, today we place our faith and our trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.